Okay, so what is peace? I thought about like going around everybody to say what's peace, but we really didn't have time for that. But so I just put this. Some would say peace is the opposite of war, right? That's good, or conflict or fighting. Some, how about some mamas like, I just need some peace in my house, right? Some may think peace is not possible in this lifetime. Some people really think that, like a true peace is not even possible. It's an idea that it cannot be present in this reality. Some people honestly believe that, that only death brings peace, because what do we say? Rest in peace, right? And so some people believe that that's the only way you can get peace is, I guess, dying. Perhaps for you, peace is quiet tranquility. Hallelujah. Peace is a calm stillness that comes after the uproar or loudness of our children when they leave for school and they finally settle down and go to bed. How many know about that? Like, okay, yes. They're at school or they're in bed. We can, I mean, when my boys were little, I can remember like bedtime was an accomplishment. I was like, yes, they're in bed. Hope they don't wake up. Okay. So we have all that. So peace comes in those moments when we are in harmony with our surroundings and we can rest. That's what sometimes we think of peace, right? Or you might describe peace as an inner assurance or calm. Peace comes as you steel your heart and your mind and let go of your worries. That's what happened to me at the dentist. I had to just be still, just give it to God. Peace is the, I love this one, the Hakuna Matata. It's the trouble-free philosophy, right? Where you can escape from reality and just relax. What is real peace? The Hebrew word for peace, anybody know? Shalom. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom's basic meaning is wholeness and well-being in all areas of our life. Perhaps the best understanding of peace is found in the blessing God gave Moses for the priest to pronounce over the people. It's here that we discover what a life of peace really is and where it comes from. See if you recognize this. Numbers 6, 24 through 27, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Then verse 27 goes on to say, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. So do y'all recognize that? Yeah. So real peace is the life blessed by God. Real peace is the fullness of a life guarded and protected by God. It is the wholeness of living under the grace of God, as verse 27 says. After he says the priestly blessing, he says, and God give you peace. Then he goes on to say, so they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. So it's being blessed by God. It's having his name over your life, right? The priestly blessing spoken over the people caused the name of the Lord to be placed upon his people. The blessing of peace was given by being in the presence of God day by day. That's where the peace came from. And so as Moses was given this priestly blessing to the people of Israel, it came from the name of God being with them, from being them being in his presence, right? And so let me skip to the end real quick. You want real peace? You got to get in his presence. But we're going to talk about, I'm going to take you on a little journey through how peace evolved, right? Okay. So a life apart, lived apart from God is incomplete. Separated from God, life is empty and without peace. How many know people like that right now, not living in peace? Only as we live in the presence of God can we be made whole and complete. Remember, shalom means wholeness or completeness. That is what it means to experience real peace. This is why Pastor ends most Sunday mornings by praying God's blessing over our lives, not just as a ritual or routine, but we truly want God to bless you. We want his presence to be with you. We want his smile to be evident in your daily life. We want his name, the name of Jesus, to be upon you throughout the week. May his presence keep you in perfect peace. Apart from being in the presence of God, it's impossible to have peace. Psalms 29:11 says this, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He gives strength and he blesses you with peace. So real peace, so let's take a little journey through peace now. Real peace, the biblical peace, centers in the idea of wholeness. We talked about that. Shalom means wholeness and well-being in all areas of our life. Okay, so peace is an order established and maintained by God. Peace is divinely produced reality impacting and changing the present world, that which is incomplete and being made whole. So let me read that again, because that's so good. Peace is a divinely produced reality impacting and changing the present world, that which is incomplete and being made whole. God blesses us with his presence, wherein there is wholeness and peace. So peace is still waiting its final completion, of course. But what happened to that peace, the kind of peace that brings wholeness? So we're going to go back to Genesis from the beginning about what really happened to peace. Where's real peace? While the Bible does not use shalom or peace to describe the heavens and the earth being originally created in Genesis 1:2, shalom is the best description of God's creation. The Lord created our world in perfect harmony and wholeness, which is what shalom means, right? Genesis 1:31 says this: God looked over everything he made, and it was good, so very good. Unfortunately, the peace, which is the wholeness and harmony, which was woven into God's original creation, was ruined. The peace was broken or disturbed when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Disobedience to God's command ruined the peace that was part of God's design. So let's think about this. In the Garden of Eden, when God created the world and created the animals and Adam and Eve, and he put them in there, the world was at peace. It was whole, and they were living in harmony, right? That's the word for shalom, peace in Hebrew. So what happened? Well, Adam and Eve sinned. They experienced for the first time the loss of inner peace. Okay, are you with me so far? Okay, suddenly they were full of guilt and shame, and it filled their hearts, and their peace was ruined in that moment of disobedience. Okay? Second thing that happened was Adam and Eve's disobedience destroyed peace with God. The harmonious relationship they enjoyed with God in the garden was broken. Before eating the fruit, they had shared an intimate fellowship with God, but afterwards they hid from God. Instead of looking forward to spending time with God, they were now afraid and was hiding. Third, Adam and Eve's sin also wreaked havoc on peaceful relationships. Their peaceful union as husband and wife was ruined. When God confronted Adam with his sin, what did he do? He blamed his wife. Furthermore, God said that conflict and strife would continue between man and woman because of sin. As a result, not only was peace broken within the home, but as the foundation of society, violence and disunity would spill over throughout humanity. And then the fourth thing that happened in the garden, Adam and Eve's disobedience broke the harmony and unity between humanity and nature. See that? Prior to their sin, Adam worked joyfully in the garden and could freely walk among the animals he named them. However, the curse of sin included enmity between Adam and Eve and the serpent. Remember that? As well as sweat, drudgery being a part of man's work. Where there had been peace and harmony between man and his environment, now a struggle and conflict began. This conflict was so great, the Bible tells us, the whole creation had been groaning as the pains of childbirth right up at the present time. So much for the good old days of peace, right? Peace was ruined. It was disrupted and broken because of sin. And here, guys, here's what I want. So there's a lot that Jesus came and fulfilled and became full circle. And I never really thought about it as peace, too. But peace was interrupted between God and man, between God and, man and relationships with each other, and between man and nature. All because of sin, the peace was gone, right? So that's one part of it. So now, then, well, let me just read this. Isaiah, and I got this on your paper. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked, for the disobedience." Is that the end of the story? Heavens, no. Has peace been ruined once and for all? Can wholeness and well-being again be found in the human heart? So now let's go where God has restored peace. So can we now still have peace? Well, of course, you know the answer is yes, but I'm going to take you on this journey. Right from the beginning, God has had a plan to restore peace. Matter of fact, God also had a plan to restore mankind. God's always had a plan. Always. Always had a plan for sin. Not that he ever wanted sin, and not that we want the consequences of sin, but God always had a plan. And you know, sometimes we think of Adam and Eve, sometimes I think, like Adam and Eve in the garden, man, they gave up a lot for disobedience. But the truth is, we give up a lot every day for disobedience, a lot. We give up a lot in our lives. Okay, so restore peace. From the beginning, God had a plan. Ephesians 2:13-14 says this, "But now, through Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So he is our peace." Throughout the Old Testament, God promised that he would one day restore peace. If you take the journey through the Old Testament, I just put a few of them on here. Ezekiel 37:26 says this, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. Isaiah 9:6 says this, how about this right at this time? For unto us is born, to us is a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Micah 5:5 says this, speaking of the one born in Bethlehem to rule, which was Jesus, he will be their peace. God's promise to restore peace to our lives was fulfilled in Jesus. On the night he was born in Bethlehem, angels made the announcement that at last peace had come to earth. You know, when the Lord dropped this in my heart a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and I started studying this, it wasn't until today that I made a connection that this is December, and we're talking about peace. And so I shouldn't have told you that because it made me look really smart, but I honestly did not even make the connection until today. I was like, oh, that was good, God. That was good. It wasn't me. It was all God. Luke 2:14 says this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Jesus is our peace. He came to restore peace on earth, to give us peace in our lives. Jesus is our peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, right? There's nine of them, but remember first that it's fruit, not fruits. Love is the blossom. Peace is love, trusting. I love that. I just threw that in. Peace is love, trusting. It means we're going to choose to trust in God's love, and we're going to have peace in that. God has placed his Spirit, his love within our lives. Therefore, while we may still live within a world in desperate need of peace, we trust God with absolute confidence, for he is our peace. Second part about this is don't forget that that it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the saints. We cannot produce fruit. This is spiritual fruit, and peace is only produced in the lives that are connected to Jesus. He is the life-giving vine by which we receive his Spirit in our lives. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but when we are connected to him, we will bear much fruit. And that's part of peace. And so I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to pick up in a minute. But guys, I know I've been reading a lot because I didn't want to miss anything because it was good as I was studying. But listen, we, with Christ inside of us, we are carriers of peace, right? And so that means there are going to be times in our lives, actually there's going to be times every day in your life where you say, today I'm going to choose peace because it's a choice. So what that means when I say that is I'm going to choose obedience. I'm going to choose to be in his presence. I'm going to choose peace. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really don't like when my life is in a lot of turmoil. Now, I live with teenagers, so it does happen occasionally, every day, that there's turmoil. There's something going on, especially when they bring them girls over, and it's just, you know, I'm like, I'm not ready for that stuff, right? I just need some peace in my life. I love when everybody's in bed at night or early in the morning and my house is quiet. I love that time because there's peace. I put on some worship music and there's peace. You know what there really is? There's his presence. That's the difference, right? Have you ever, you don't have to raise your hand because I'm sure it's happened to everybody, but have you ever walked into a place and instantly did not feel peace? You know, the Lord restored peace through Jesus. We're going to finish that in a minute. But when he did that, he says, now what I have, I give to you. And so Jane Gilmore, when she was gone, I prayed for her Sunday night. And she was going to be with her friend. And I said, and she said, can you pray for peace? And I said, no. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I mean, I'll pray for you, but you carry peace. I don't need to pray for it, baby. It's already there. You have it. I said, we're going to pray right now that that peace inside of you is going to be activated. When you walk into that hospital room, they're going to feel your peace. She called me on Monday, and she said it was not a good diagnosis. It was not good, you know. And she said, and I said, how are you? And she said, it's crazy, but it's so peaceful in here. I said, it's because you carry that peace. We just released it, and you carried it, right? And we can carry that in any situation we go in. And I've been in situations, especially sometimes family situations, where it's a lot of turmoil and uneasiness. And I will just simply pray like this, God, I release your peace here today because I carry it. I'm going to release it. By the way, all the non-fruit of the Spirit, you can do that with. I release your joy. I release your love. I release your patience, your kindness, your good. You can release all that. You have that, and it's for kingdom purposes. Remember, peace is a third of his kingdom, right? The kingdom of God is love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost, right? And so we carry his peace. And I know in my life, I need his peace every day. There is nothing like being unpeaceful. I don't even know if that's a word. Maybe it's not even a word. I do know this, though. When I don't know what to do, I follow peace. When I'm not settled in my spirit, it's not happening, right? Because if nothing else, I know that the will of God is first of all peaceable. And I know that if I'm living for God and I'm daily in his presence and I'm his name is over my life, that I'm gonna be guided by peace. So that's just a good, for you guys, that's just a good reminder. If you're in a situation and you're like, I know this is the right thing to do, or it's what I should do, but I'm just uneasy about it, that's a no. That's a wait. That's a pray. That's a pause, right? And listen for the Holy Spirit. You can raise your hand on this. I wonder how many's ever done something that you, maybe it was the right thing, maybe it was the wrong time, whatever, and that you didn't have peace about it, but you did it anyway, and it was a mess. You can raise your hand. I mean, just all of us, right? It's a mess sometimes, because sometimes our heart gets in the way. Sometimes we are looking through glasses that are not really clear, right? So the peace of God. Here's what I want you to know. We're going to finish this in a minute. How am I doing on time? So good. This is what I want you to know. You carry God's peace with you. And if you're not, listen, God's peace doesn't mean your life is perfect, because we still live in a sinful world. And until the new heavens and the new earth comes down, the new Jerusalem and this Garden of Eden again, it's never going to be like that until then. But on this side of heaven, I'm going to walk in perfect peace. Even when situations, you know, I remember when my kids were little, and most of you, if you're mom in here or even dad, you'll know this. There are times in your kid's life when they're hurt, whether they're physically hurt, emotionally hurt, that you cannot do anything for it. Like you want to, but there. I remember we were here as youth pastors, and Hunter was little. He was a little bitty thing. And he touched a light bulb and burned his finger. And he was probably a year. And I remember crying with him, because I knew that pain I couldn't take away. Like, I was putting ice on it, then that was cold. He didn't want you touching it. I mean, he was little, he didn't understand. And so there have been times in our lives, maybe it's just you personally, there's been times that, like, I can't take away this pain. Maybe a death of a loved one, you know? And you have to walk through something. But the peace of God. And there's been plenty of times in my life where I felt God's peace. So when my kids were little and they were going through something, I would sing a song that we're going to end with, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace. I would sing that so much to them. And I remember telling Mo when they were little, I said, I want this song to be the song that they always associate with something hurts, but there's peace. And so I said, I can just imagine, even when they're adults one day and they call us, you know, and I was like, hey, let me just sing you a song. Because God's peace, I mean, you can't buy that kind of stuff, right? I mean, you got to have, that's priceless. That's the kind of stuff that if you ain't walking in God's peace, you're missing out on the good stuff. Want God's peace. Okay. Isaiah 53:5 says this. It says it's the first step in having peace in your life is to be connected to Jesus. Jesus went to the cross and died in your place. He suffered torture and the most brutal of deaths to restore peace in your life, among other things, but to peace, right? Isaiah 53 says this. He was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. You will never find real peace until you come to Jesus. Only he can restore the wholeness and harmony of life you are looking for. Jesus is our peace. John 16:33 says this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will be unshakable and assured, deeply in peace. How many needs that? I need to be deeply in peace. And so the words of that song say this. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I love that. Man, if you don't know that song, that in times of trouble, that could just be your anthem. In anything. I remember when my father-in-law was, you know, his last weekend here, and it was pretty peaceful. I mean, but I just remember thinking, Lord, we're going to need your peace to get through this season. I'm saying that, Lord, we're going to need your peace to get through the holiday season. But God's peace, man, in times of trouble, in times of uncertainty, it's his peace. I have been in situations where I remember when Hayden was at Tesh Hospital and they were about to airlift him to Children's. And I remember, I lost my mind for just a little bit, praying in tongues, and then they probably thought I was nuts. But I remember sitting there holding him. He's looking up at me and he can't catch his breath. And his oxygen level was dropping and he couldn't. And I just started singing that song. And I just started singing, praying in tongues in between that, singing that song, peace, peace. And I wasn't singing it for him. I was singing it for me. I needed God's peace. And a peace came in that room. And the Lord immediately healed him. And that's a miracle story. But listen, he's God's peace. And in times in our life when there's so much uncertainty, you have to know that there's peace you can walk in. But you just don't get to have it. Jesus paid it all. He paid it for us. But it comes with a price for us. It comes with daily abiding in his presence. It comes with living according to his word. Just like salvation. Salvation is free, but we have to make sure that we're living according to God's word if we want to keep salvation, right? If you want to keep peace, you need to live according to his word. And I don't even know how people do it. I say this with hope all the time. How do they do it without hope? How do they do it without peace? How do people live without God's peace? Okay, so let me start finishing this up. So how does, and I think on the back of your paper, I might have just given you the rest of this so we can look at it. How does God bring peace into our lives through his son Jesus? And how can our peace be restored? So one, peace follows grace. I thought this was really good. The Apostle Paul opens each of his letters by saying this, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Except to Timothy, Paul adds, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace always follows grace. I love that. Peace always follows grace. It never precedes it. You can't have peace than grace, because peace can never be experienced apart from the grace of God. Remember, Jesus is our peace. If you need peace, the only way to find it is to come to God through Jesus Christ. The grace of what Jesus did on the cross, the grace that none of us deserve, give us the gateway into peace. So when we think about grace or we think about peace, know that it has to come through grace. None of us, we all have access to it. None of us deserve it. But we all have access to it through Jesus, through the grace, through the cross. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. This was Jesus talking. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Who gives us peace? Jesus. He's the only one who can. He's the one who restored it. He's the one who paid the price for it. And he's the only one. And he says, my peace I give to you. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's one of those gifts that I'm like, if you want it, take it, right? And I'm like, yes, Lord, I want it. I need it. And I don't want it. I need it. I need God's peace in my life. I'm leaving you well and whole. It's my parting gift to you. Peace, I don't leave you the way you used to be left. This is from the message. Feeling abandoned, bereft. Don't be upset. Don't be distraught. Jesus rose from the dead. He died to give us peace, but death could not hold him. Victorious over death, Jesus returned to the Father. But Jesus has not left us empty-handed. Through the grace of God, he has given us his peace. So peace follows grace. Number two, peace comes through unwavering prayer. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. How many just love that scripture? That should be your life scripture. Do not be anxious for anything. With everything, prayer, thanksgiving, supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot in life I do not understand. There's a whole lot in life I wish I could change. There's a lot, I was just thinking about like the election coming up. There's a whole lot I just wish I could change. And a whole lot that will make our world better, you know. But I know that the peace that transcends all my understanding, it goes beyond what I know. It goes beyond what I understand. It's the peace of God. It's the kind of thing that should be But, you know, one of those things that, like the good kind of medicine that's locked behind the pharmacy counter that you can only get with the key. And he's given us the key. We can come boldly to the throne of grace behind the counter with the key to unlock the cabinet to get the good stuff. And that's peace and love and joy. And there's a whole bunch more, but I'm talking about peace tonight. So that's number two. Says peace comes through unwavering prayer. Three, peace grows by obedience. Psalms 119, 165 says this, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. How many need some of that? Great peace for those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. And then number four, peace is cultivated through discipline. Hebrews 12, 11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I think I love that one the best because, I mean, who likes discipline? So I hate that I have to always use Hayden as an example, but he's been the one. So when he was young, he was a challenge. And he was the no peace. He was the peace police. He would steal my peace all the time. And so, but I can remember when I would spank him, it was peaceful after. Every time. It was almost like he needed a daily dose of discipline to have peace. And I hated it. I hated that I had to do that. I mean, well, sometimes I didn't hate it. Most of the time I hated it. Sometimes I was like, I need to feel better. But for him, I remember one time, this is a true story. He remembers it. He was old enough to remember it. Remember one time we said if he did something, he was going to get a spanking. And we had company over and he did it. And we fussed him, but he wouldn't get the belt. Like, he was young enough to know, like, I should be spanked, and you're not. And he's handing me the belt saying, don't spank me, don't spank me, don't. And I'm looking at him like, he is crazy. But the Lord spoke to me and said, no, he craves discipline. He knows it's going to hurt, but he knows it's for his own good. And he also knows that you have boundaries, and his security lies within those boundaries. So when you say something and do something different, he's insecure, because he doesn't know where the boundaries are. So keep those boundaries strong. You know, the Lord told me a long time ago, he was like a mighty rushing river. And my job was to be the levees, not the dam. And so I know both of my boys are going to do great things. And boy, a lot of times I just want to stop the flow because it's costing me something. But you know what? He craved discipline. And it tells us right here that discipline, what does it say? Peace. Oh, let me put my glasses on so I can see. Peace is cultivated through discipline. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Mama, please don't spank me. He's crying. Give, handing me the belt. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained for it by it. I was thinking, when I would spank him, then all of a sudden his heart got real tender. And he was mad. I mean, he would be mad for a little bit, but then I'm sorry, and his heart would get real tender. And I remember telling Mo when he was little, I'm like, we should just spank him every day. He's much more lovable after he gets a spanking. He's a good kid, almost like a little angel, right? But you know what? It produces righteousness and peace. Well, it's the same thing. We're just big kids. We're just big Haydens, if you want to be honest, because we all a little bit spoiled, rotten brats, right, with God. And we throw a little temper tantrum when we don't get our way. And so God says, you know what? I'm going to have to give a little discipline. But I love it, because after that, it produces righteousness and peace. And there's nothing like the Lord bringing me into correction, as much as I hate it, for me to turn my heart softly toward him and receive righteousness and peace from him. And then my world seems right. Without peace, I don't know how it is for you. For me, without peace, I don't sleep well. I'm not a good mom. My home is disruptive. And my kids can feel it. Because there have been times when there's things going on that they don't know about, maybe in the church or whatever. There's been times over the years that they will say, can we have a family meeting? And what they were really saying was, can we figure out what's going on and fix it? They didn't know, but they just knew that when times got tough, we'd call a family meeting, you know, and so it's like, what's happening here? Because they want that peace. I've also had my kids sleep out at people's houses and call me at 12 o'clock to come get them. And I've heard them say this, Mom, there was no peace. Because I taught him real young what peace is, right? There's no peace, Mom. Can you come get me? And so when the Lord just dropped that in my heart, and honestly, all he dropped in my heart was that peace was a third of the kingdom of God. I was like, that's a lot. Love, joy, and peace. It's a third, and we have to have peace. And the truth is, this world is going to throw everything at us that's not peaceful. But you have to know that inside of you, you have, if you're living for God, you're in his presence, inside of you is peace. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. My peace I give to you. So with the holidays coming up, I didn't plan it this way, but when it started going into like, he's the Prince of Peace, we should call him Prince of Peace. And but with the holidays coming up, sometimes it gets a little bit unpeaceful. It gets a little bit stressful. I don't know about for you. Sometimes we get caught up into the materialism of the holiday and what we have to buy and whose house we have to go to. You know, when we do marriage counseling, a major part of what we do in marriage counseling is where you're going to spend the holidays. Because it's a source of contention for a lot of married couples. So you want wherever you can to choose peace. You want to be the carrier of peace. You want to be the peace speaker, the peace maker, right? You want just your very presence to bring peace. Don't get caught in the trap of getting caught up in drama, getting caught up in gossip, getting caught up in dissension. Remember, you carry peace. It's a gift. If you receive that gift, then God's going to give you that peace. Okay, we have like 4 minutes. So does anybody have any thoughts or comments? I would love to hear. Anybody? Yes. And Robin, you lost a child and a husband. The peace of God has to be priceless to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I didn't say this, but I should have put it in my notes. We can actually practice peace. Do you know that? Like, it's what I did at the dentist the other day. I got in the chair and, you know, he was in my mouth and I was all tense, and I heard the Lord say peace, and I knew I was speaking on it, and I started practicing, just relaxing, and like basking in his peace, and I was singing to myself, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down. We can practice peace. That seems like a silly situation. I really was in no harm. I really was in no danger. Nothing was going to happen to me. I mean, except my checkbook, that had to happen, but nothing was going to happen to me that was going to hurt me, right? It was a good time to practice peace. If I can practice it in the little moments like that, when the big moments come, I've already been practicing peace. See, we can practice for the test that we know life will eventually throw us. So we practice that peace. We practice that peace when Miss Josie, when you're in the hospital, you know, with Melinda all those times, that you have to have peace when there are no answers, you know? When you're praying for your son, you have to have peace. We have to have peace. When you're praying about family stuff, you have to have peace. You know, and so when I'm walking through this season with my mom-in-law, her first time, I am practicing peace, and I keep praying every time, Lord, when I walk in the room, not because of me, but because of what I carry, let me change the atmosphere because of what I carry. Let me bring the peace to that situation. We have dominion in that. You just got to walk in it. So here's your homework for this week. When you find something that you know this could maybe a little bit, maybe you got little kids at home and they're going crazy and your house is a mess. That would used to, you know, make me not. Okay, you know what? I'm going to sit here right a second and I'm going to enjoy peace. I'm going to change my atmosphere, change my thinking, change my thoughts, and I'm going to practice peace. We start practicing that enough when the big tests in life come, we're prepared. The problem is we don't walk in peace. We don't practice peace enough. I'm not saying we don't ever. Enough. Because whoever thinks to practice peace in the dentist office, right? Or a phone call, you know, whatever. Practice in peace. So we have to practice that. And Brother Donald, this is how I want to end. Unless anybody else has anything else to say? Peace, is it good? Are you guys going to practice peace? You're going to walk in peace? I've given you plenty of scriptures to study all week if you need to. Peace was taken away in the garden through disobedience, but it was restored on the cross of Calvary, right? So for us to not walk in it, saying, I mean, this is going to be very dramatic, so I'm going to say this, but just hear my heart. It's saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross wasn't enough, because I'm still going to choose to walk. Here's my alarm. I'm going to still choose to walk in chaos, right? But what he did was enough, and I can choose peace.